And we talked about politics last week. All right, before that, we've talked about racism. And we have the beauty of a New Testament testimony here where God's Spirit is moving amongst not just Jews, but Gentiles. And friends, you can't get too far apart, further apart than those two worlds of being a Gentile and a Jew back in biblical times. But yet, Christ was big enough for them to come together. Christ is big enough for us to be the focus of our life as we look at some of these subject matters. So we're going to jump into immigration today. I want us to stand in honor of the text that we're going to study from today, Romans chapter 13. Let me read verses 1 through 10, and then we'll continue. Chapter 13, verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Verse 8, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you truly are the author and perfecter of our faith. That God, you lived and walked among us. And God, there were issues going on at that time. There were things going on that were not right. Things that were heavy issues. And yet, Lord, you seemed to balance it out with a beautiful touch of grace and love that did not detract you from your main mission, but also showed us a way to live our life amongst others, God, while we're here on this earth. So, Lord, may we take heed to your Spirit and the Scriptures, and may we listen to your word. And God, may we not certainly take my thoughts, but God, may we take our time to invest in the same passages of Scripture and study and come to conclusions based on faith that honor you for your glory. We ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Like I shared last week when we talked on politics, this is really an unfair environment for us to have subject matters. My desire would be more one-on-one because in this subject, you only get to hear my thoughts. We don't get to collaborate and trade and exchange ideas to encourage one another in that. So I realize the limitation there. And because that is a limitation, there are certain things that we just will not address or talk about in this type of arena because it doesn't give us the ability for me to make sure you understand where I was coming from and then also the dignity of me hearing from your side. So I'm not going to take advantage of that today and just tout my opinion on things. My heart is this, as you've seen in these last 7 weeks, that regardless if you would agree on the same application of how to apply God's truth, that we will agree on this. This Bible is where we find God's truth, and this is where we need to turn to seek for answers that are complicated like this, okay? God, yeah, there's no amens on that, or that, okay. Let's agree on some, folks. Come on. Come on. This is the Word of God, okay? And it really doesn't matter our opinions. What matters, what God's perspective is on matters. And so our discipline is this. We're not going to be perfect. We're not going to always get it right, but we should be faithful when we get to fork in the road moments like this of, man, where do I land? That our initial disciplinary reaction is what would God's word say about this? Not what Fox would say, not what CNN would say, not your favorite newspaper, okay, that gets paid by one of those political parties would say, okay, not your certain biases. Our opinions don't matter. We should be a people that are found seeking the wisdom of God from his word. Why? Because we believe God has breathed his spirit, his character, his truth, who he is, through the word of God. So that's my prayer today, is that I'm simply giving you an example as if you came to me, and if you're a first-time visitor, this is what I'm sharing with you. This has kind of been our thought pattern. If you came up to me and said, Pastor, what's your opinion on this? I'm giving you where I am right now as a student of God's word, okay, as I continue to journey, as I continue to seek wisdom. And my prayer is 20 years from now, I'm even wiser than I am today, okay? But I pray the same thing will be consistent. You'll find me going to the word of God to rest my faith and my answer on at this time, okay? That's what I hope we can agree upon. And my prayer is in all this that I lead you back to your focus being on the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? And not being side-railed by our issues of today. So let's look at the text to bring up this, okay? There are questions that need to be answered today. And the question that's not going to be answered is, well, Chris, should we have a wall or should we not? Okay? And you're like, man, he's scaredy cat. You know? No. I mean, if I go to the Bible, I see that Joshua tore down a wall, you know, and I see that Nehemiah built one. You understand? So I don't know if we're going to get anywhere, okay, by looking in our concordance and say, what does God say about a wall today? Okay? I think the issue is deeper than that. It's reality, it's deeper than that, because in 2009, one political party was wanting a wall to protect jobs, you know, and incomes within here. And in 2019, now another party's wanting a wall to protect other interests, okay, of people groups. So the reality for us to address and talk about a wall today really doesn't get to the heart of the issue of where we as Christians need to be. I think the two questions that come to my mind in these issues of immigration is, number one, what is the Christian's response to immigration? And number two, and this is the most complex, what is our response to the illegal immigrant in our country? Let's show those on the screen real quick on that slide. What is the response to immigration, and what is the response to the illegal immigrant? Let's keep that on the screen, please. This is where I want to address with Scripture today. And I want to say this, guys, this is a very complicated subject matter, okay? It would be a failure on our part to blanket everybody in the same case when it comes to these questions. Because there are multiple situations and multiple complex issues that are going on here. More so than I think many of us, have the wisdom or the insight to be able to address with possibly a very solid opinion, okay? I think one of the main things before we get into this text that we need to realize is that more than ever, what our country needs from the church is a church that is interceding for our leadership on both sides, interceding and praying that God would give them wisdom how to tackle these issues, because they're getting a whole lot more time of our opinions and our thoughts than they are getting our prayers from our churches. Amen or ouch? I mean, what if we actually turned the TV off for a moment and instead of diving into something for 20 minutes, at the end of that conversation, we didn't really get anywhere, you know, from hearing it. What if we dove to our knees in prayer, asking God to give clarity and wisdom, okay, and unity that would show his Christ-like character in what we're doing? And I think that needs to be a focus of the church today, that we need to be intercessors for things that are complex to us but that are simple to God, and that God would bring forth his wisdom. Because honestly, it looks like sometimes the enemy's winning with the chaos and the confusion that's being caused. And we need to be praying for clarity. for our nation and for our leaders. I'm not saying don't turn on your news channel. I'm not saying read your favorite blog. I'm just saying, man, could we put that time to even better use for the kingdom work and what God's doing and what he's called us to do, according to Timothy, when he said for us to pray for our leaders. And that's not just our president, friend. That's for everybody that you do like and don't like on both sides of the arena, okay? God's called us to pray for them, intercede for them. So let's get on that subject in chapter 13, verse 1. It says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear for the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is his servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. Okay, let's stop right there for a moment. What is Paul saying here in Romans chapter 13? Well, the first 11 chapters are basically talking about the beautiful picture of the gospel and basically the Cliff Note version of the Bible, where it is putting all this together of why Christ had to come and how he is the fulfillment of the law, and through him we have salvation by faith in him. And then chapter 12, it begins on how we respond to that. And then chapter 13 starts taking us into practical applications, how we're to live out our life, and that goes all the way to the end of the book. So in here in chapter 13, it's talking to Christians, how are you supposed to live as citizens? Now, it's important for you to remember that in their context, they're in a completely different governmental style than you and I are today. And so we really got to be honed in on the principles of what's being said here, and not necessarily that we can live it out and apply it in the same demeanor, in the same way. But this chapter does a good job of hitting on principles. And the principle being brought out here is that, hey, every government and every authority has been established by God for his purpose and his doing. We said from the very beginning of this sermon series, let's not get in a defeated mindset here, guys. God is not losing, okay? We are not going to throw out things to you to motivate you under some false pretense of saying, oh, man, you got to get a part of God's kingdom because he needs you to step up because it's dragging right now and he needs you to do something because he's about to get dethroned. Jesus isn't getting dethroned. He's not getting outvoted. He's not retiring. Okay, he is fully in control. Now, friends, that is deep water where you're not going to touch the bottom of the pool on, okay? You're just not going to get there. But everything that happens within this country and within this world goes through the hand of God first. Again, that's deep water, okay? And you can start taking that to all different realms of life. And I'm saying you're not going to get to the bottom of the pool on that one, okay? You're not going to touch it. That's deep. But God is in control. And what's going on in our country right now is not taking him by surprise. And it's certainly not a sign that he is being defeated. It actually presents an opportunity for us to show a peace in the fact that we should be the people that are the least rattled in our country, okay? By chaos, because we know who's on the throne. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be disturbed about some things because of the pursuit of holiness and the desire for God's kingdom to be holy. But as far as going frantic and thinking, oh my gosh, the world's coming to an end, what are we going to do? Nah, my friends, God will decide that. And you and I are going to be okay. Amen? We're going to be okay. So what is this text telling us? Saying that God establishes every authority and he's giving out a purpose of that authority in this text, that the ideal and the purpose of this authority is to help restrain evil in this world. This is why he challenges them, hey, you need to be a good citizen, you need to obey and submit, because God has put these authorities in place as his agent to handle wrongdoers. This is something that we should all take a step back and say with confidence and be with gratitude that, friends, you need to be grateful for the country that you live in, that we are still in a position where there are laws in this land that are restraining evil. Now, there are some things going on that's not restraining evil right now, and we should be burdened about that. I'm not dismissing that. But you compare us to other countries right now. Friends, we are a blessed nation. The fact that we have laws in this land that are still pursuing this ideal of protecting those who cannot protect themselves. Now, obviously, we hit on abortion a couple weeks ago, and that would be when you would throw right back at me and say, hey, Chris, how's that protecting? I'm not saying we're hitting on all cylinders, guys. Before we start potty mouthing, though, our country, it's amazing to me how some of those who have the biggest opinion about our country have never traveled to another country, you know, to see what's going on. You weren't there with me in Russia that day that I saw their health economy and how they handle those who don't have the resources to take care of medical. You wasn't there. You wasn't there when we were stopped at a traffic light and I saw what I thought was a kid walking through the middle of traffic begging for money. It wasn't a kid. It was a man whose legs were cut off and he was trying to hobble down the middle of the street begging for some change because there's no economical support there to take care of his needs. We don't know that. We don't know what it's like to live in another country where to me, if you're a police officer, I'm sorry when we don't say thank you enough to you. But you don't know what it's like to live in countries where the police are actually corrupt and you can't trust them more, you know, than anybody else out there. We're a blessed country in that fact. And God has put in his ideal, like his ideal in marriage in Ephesians chapter 5, his ideal in Romans 13 is to put these authorities here to take care and protect the people of that country and to restrain evil. Protection is the priority from this principle and text that God's establishing to protect the people. And then it goes on and says this in verse 6, for because of this, you also are to pay taxes. What a great time to be talking about that, right? Amen. We're to pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to him who honor is owed. Why does he bring up the tax thing? Because these people that are protecting others are supported in this governmental establishment by the taxes that are being paid. And so the principle here, Paul is saying, hey, guys, we should be in support and we should be a model citizen, an example of a government that is pursuing to protect and take care of the well-being of others. And you should even support that financially by being faithful with your taxes that they put on for that. Not supporting things that are against, contrary to the will of God, but that which God has put in place to take care of the people, we should be in support of that. So if you're just asking me randomly, Chris, where are you on this immigration thing? At this point in my journey as a student of God's Word, I'm coming to this text. And this would be my answer to you on question number one. Where do you stand when it comes to immigration? Let's put it up there on the screen. It's in my opinion, based on text and try to put it in an application, that we should be supportive of legal immigration. We should be a support and an encourager of legal immigration. Christians should be in support of laws that protect citizens and support the good works of the nation. I don't think God has called us to be okay with the things that are against his will and his character, but when it comes to laws that are being put up there to protect the people and for the benefit of the good of others, I think we should be people that support that because we see that in the text that this is part of God's ideal. So, friends, we should care about there being laws in the land when it comes to immigration. We shouldn't see that as a taboo subject. We shouldn't down people that care about that are in politics. We should see that as being for people that are being proponents of what we call biblically founded and encouraging that, yes, we need to support that. We need to support anybody and pray for anyone and encourage anyone that is trying to take care of the well-being of citizens and protect them. I don't think the issue today with anybody on both sides is that they don't want protection, right? The issue is that we're just living in these extremes right now. Based on your media that you're watching more than you're taking the Word of God and the Spirit of God to help you with things. The media, and I'm not saying we, because I don't even think the media is showing a majority on either side. And again, guys, just take the State of the Union address 2 weeks ago, all right? I watched MSNBC, I watched CNN, I watched Fox News, and then I watched American Family Radio, One News Now, okay? And it is hilarious as a communication major how, man, they start out looking for what they want to look at on all four sides, okay? In fact, we need to kind of throw them all in together and actually maybe we can get out of it some merit, you know, at that point. But again, that happened in the 1820s when we started buying up newspapers, political parties to pay what they wanted. This is not a new thing. Okay? So here are two extremes that are going on right now. I'm not saying it's your extreme. I'm not saying it's your camp. But this is what we hear a lot. We hear some people say that a wall is immoral. And then you got another part over here that is saying that the wall's not immoral. What's immoral if people have no respect for our laws of the land and they're just coming over? And these people are not good people of character at all. These are the two extreme comments, okay? You're like, well, man, I ain't heard of that one or that one. Well, that's because you're probably only watching one news media, okay? Watch both of them, all right? One is talking about a people that are defiant and not wanting to come across or not coming across with the right motives and the right purpose. Another one is saying it's immoral for them to have a wall up, okay, that would keep people out. That's two extreme opinions going on right now. I'm not saying it's your opinion. I'm not saying that's not the only extreme opinion. That's the two. You know, well, Chris, what do we get into that? Well, man, I think that's an endless argument, okay? I think that's an argument that's going to go nowhere. Because I could say to this guy, a wall's immoral. I would ask him, do you lock the doors of your house? Well, yeah, I lock the doors of my house. Well, how disrespectful you are that you actually think that everybody that walks in your door, you know, uninvited, is going to get you. But yet you're against a wall being put up, but you got your doors locked. And he would say, well, Chris, that's a crazy example. Exactly. It's extreme. It's fruitless. And then this over here. Everybody that's coming across is people of corrupt character. Well, my simple mind would just go here. Man, have you ever gone over the speed limit because your wife's about to have a baby? And you justified in that moment that it is okay for me to disobey the laws of this land in order to help, you know, family. Well, Chris, there again, that is a crazy small example to a big complicated thing. Exactly. It's fruitless talk, guys, on both sides. I'm not going to go there. I think question number one is pretty easy, okay? The Word of God says that His ideal for governments are to protect the people, that we should be supporters. The complex issue is question number two. What do we do about those that are already here illegally? I think we all are for legal immigration. In fact, I think we're celebrating with a family in our church. I don't have all the details, so I'm not going to go much into it, but I know that we have one brother in Christ that's about to be an American citizen, okay? Okay, it's already happened, all right? Praise the Lord, okay? I think their community group's throwing him a party, you understand? We should applaud that. We're excited for that, okay? That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. I think all of us would love to see then also, hey, how can we make this process like that brother easier for him instead of harder, okay? We want that. But I think the real issue today is, what are Christians supposed to do with those that are already here illegally? Because if we're not careful, we could sit out here in some extreme thought ideas, and indirectly we could begin alienating people and put them in categories almost as second-class human beings and missing the opportunity that we have with the gospel. I want to show you that. So what is question number two? Let's look at it in verse 8. How do we respond to the illegal immigrant? Verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. How fitting that after God talks about, through Paul, the establishment of the government to protect citizens, for us to support the government and support the laws, he goes right into verse 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 with the law of love. Saying, hey guys, we're not done with this subject matter. Yes, you're supposed to support the laws of this land, but we're not done yet. There's a greater law that we're still obligated to. There's a law that we're supposed to ooze out because we are these people and we have the DNA of this law within our hearts because Christ Jesus has put it there. That is the law of love. And I think that, friend, is where we cannot dismiss that law when it comes to addressing those who are here illegally. I think it's easy for us to answer question number one. We want to have better legal immigration that protects and supports, and we're an encouragement of that. But in reality, we live in a world that's a broken system. What do we do with those that are here? And I think that is the sovereign aspect of this passage being put in at this time. There is the law of love that we can still be governed by. So let's look at it. Leviticus chapter 19, okay? That is in your Old Testament, okay? I know that probably was not your devotional reading, you know, this past week. But there is something in Leviticus that opens us up to the character of God on verses 8 through 10. Now, let me say this. Leviticus was the introduction of the law, the Old Testament law that we don't live by. Jesus came and fulfilled it, but we live under the law of Christ now, not the law of the Old Testament, okay? But that doesn't mean we throw it away and don't look at it, because the law actually points to the character of God. This is why Christ Jesus fulfilled it. Only he could. He is God. So let's see what this says about the character of God. And why is it important? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So his character hasn't changed. So how did he, and let me put this in context, when he is writing out these truths through Moses to the people, they are a people without a country. Y'all get that? Let's remember context. Context is king. They are a people without a country, walking through countries to get to a country that they're going to claim. Ooh, that at all doesn't sound politically correct, does it? Well, some it does, some it doesn't, amen? That's just the country we live in, okay? Some is okay. But here's reality. That's the context. And he is saying, when I do establish your government, this is how I want it to look. Let's read it. Leviticus 19, verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. Who is the sojourner? Some of your translations read the alien. Okay? Verse 11, you shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, you shall not lie to one another, you shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. Well, who's our neighbor? Jesus enlightened us on that, didn't he? Our neighbor can be our enemy, right? Our neighbor can be the one we don't associate with. Jesus pointed that out with the Good Samaritan. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 14, you shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block. That just doesn't make sense. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. Y'all didn't get the humor in that? Come on, guys. That's good. That's good. Okay. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. He's writing to a people who are traveling through countries to get to the place that they're supposed to be. They haven't started their travels yet. They're about to. And yet we see the heart of God here. Remember the poor. Remember the alien. In fact, one of the countries that God judged when Joshua started conquering the lands, one was a country that would not welcome them or let them pass through to get to where they were going. But the beauty of what I want you to see here is in the heart of God. God is saying, do not take all of your field to yourself. Leave a little bit for the poor and the alien walking through. Right there we see God screaming out, this life's never going to be just about you. I want you to be a people that's beyond just you. I want you to be about a people beyond you, because this is what I want to set different with this nation. And so, friends, for some of us that might get zealous about coming down hard with those that are here illegal, my prayer is that we need to have some spirit of restraint, making sure that we're not crossing over a boundary that contradicts the character of God. And this is a very complicated issue, so I am not trying to get you to sway one way or the other. I am simply saying it's so delicate and it's so complicated that if the character of God even communicates the heart for the poor and the resident that didn't earn, who didn't work for that crop, that didn't do nothing for it, but I still want provision for it. I'm just saying we need to slow down in our zealousness and think. God, do I have your complete heart and mind on this before I start walking in my actions of faith? Because it's in the character of God to be beyond ourselves. Well, Chris, I'm for anybody that earns their keep. That's not what the law was being communicated to right there, okay? It did talk about don't take from your other neighbor, but this is talking about those who didn't earn their keep in this manner. Watch out for the poor and the alien, the sojourner. Well, Chris, you're already going there in your application. You're already thinking that these people, you know, that they're the same situation as the aliens that we have in our country today, the immigrants that we have in our country. I didn't say that. I'm just pointing out to God's character. He went beyond his own watching out for self and beyond that and showing some grace and mercy and compassion to those who don't have. That's what I'm pointing out. Granted, this is not the same culture. This is not the same government. I had somebody come up my face 3 years ago when this issue was coming up about, you know, people getting held up in airports, you know, because of immigration. Like, many, you know, how can we be a support of that? And I'm like, dude, this is complicated. How can it be complicated? That shouldn't be allowed. Like, man, I'm not in the office with the president. I don't know what's going down with all the security stuff, man. I'm about not to make an opinion out of ignorance. I don't know all the factors that are going in. My heart hurts for those that are caught up in it. But let's have some strain on that end as well. Protection. What's going on? This is complicated, guys. But what we see here is a God communicating to a people that are about to walk to their country. When you get there and I establish it, it's not just about you. And my country needs to be expressing my heart. But Chris, it still doesn't answer. How do you know this is the same type of alien we're talking about today? We don't. This still doesn't address maybe the illegal immigrant. Maybe it doesn't. That's why God didn't stop me there at this passage. He took me to Philemon. Now go to Philemon. It's in the New Testament. It's right before Hebrews. So one chapter. Philemon is a testimony about a runaway slave. This runaway slave that was against the law and the culture of that time. This slave ran away from his master. He took advantage of his master. Some scholars say that he actually took property or took money away from his master. This guy was not a man who had the right character in his heart doing the right thing. Yet he meets Paul. He gets saved. And this whole letter is Paul writing back to his master saying this: hey, welcome me back in. Welcome me back home. Let's see if we can gain any principles from this. Philemon chapter 1, verse 8. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required. Notice what Paul says right there. I'm not saying that this is a suggestion. I'm telling you this is displaying the law of love right here. This is required. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. Paul's saying this is what we should do, but at the same time, because I love you too, I know this may be hard, and that's why I'm coming to you in a manner of humility and respect. So what he's saying in verse 9. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but for your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. Let me read verse 15 again. For this is perhaps why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul is keeping in mind the sovereignty of God here when he said in verse 15, this might be why God allowed all these circumstances to unfold here, so that he left to you almost like your enemy, but now he's coming back not as a servant, but as a brother in Christ. What happened here, church? The church collided with someone that wasn't doing things culturally the legal way, illegally. Paul collided with a man who was a runaway slave. The question is, how should the church respond to the illegal immigrant today? I think we have wisdom here with the law of love, and with the application of Paul from Philemon. That friends, first and foremost, our citizenship is priority to God and the kingdom of God. And because of that, we cannot divorce the law of love from the laws of our society. And so therefore we can't say, oh, you're illegal, I got nothing to do with you. If that was the case, look at the scriptures with Paul and his testimony with Onesimus. Paul said, what about Onesimus? Hey, Philemon, I met this stranger named Onesimus. Is that what he said? No, he said, I want to write to you about my son in the faith. I've become like a father to him. Paul describes a relationship with someone who was in the wrong, and he describes even his discipleship within that person's life. And the whole letter is to say, now in God's timing, is to do the right thing the right way. Paul didn't dismiss the authorities of his land, but Paul didn't dismiss the law of love either. Paul did not disregard Philemon, the owner of this slave, but Paul also did not disregard that he was an ambassador of Christ first. So when Onesimus comes his way, what does he say? Oh, you're a runaway slave? Go away from us because we're just the people that obey the law. We don't associate with all you lawbreakers. Is that what he does, church? No. He allows the law of love to supersede, the gospel to be the primary, and we don't have it in the scriptures, but based on the affectionate words he's using, and we don't believe that Paul just uses words just sporadically, it's intentionally. We know that Paul is saying, I have a relationship with this guy. There was time, church, for there to be a ministry care unto Onesimus to the point he gets saved, to the point he gets discipled, and to the point that Paul can then start helping him do the right thing according to the laws of the land of that day. The whole book of Philemon. So let's repeat the answers to these questions. Chris, where do you stand on legal immigration? We should be supporters of it. Why should we be supporters of legal immigration? Let's throw that slide up there. Why am I supporters of legal immigration? Number one, I think it gives protection to citizens and to other immigrants. I am thankful for the country that protects the citizenship of those that are here and also has the right paperwork for those that are not citizens yet, but they're protected under certain laws and given the same privileges to begin contributing and work their way up to citizenship. I think we should be in favor of that. Secondly, legal immigration allows immigrants to be equal partners in supporting the nation. I think they should jump on board with us and help us. And guess what? Many do. So that's easy. Second question, but what about the illegal? How do we respond to him? Let's look at it on the screen. Next screen. Next slide. Christians should love and help the immigrant, legal or illegal, without dishonoring our authorities. We don't divorce the laws of our land from the law of love. But friends, it is a complicated issue, and we must lean on the Holy Spirit, okay, to guide us through that process. And as I pray through this is where I'm at personally. Christians should love and help the immigrant, legal or illegal, without dishonoring our authorities. Like the testimony of Philemon, I think we have a great opportunity with our illegal immigrants in this country. We got a great opportunity. And what is our opportunity? God is bringing nations to us to share the gospel. Let's throw the next slide up there. We have the opportunity to help the illegal immigrant. We can minister to their need, and we can equip them for God's kingdom work. Look back at the testimony of Philemon. Did Paul just minister to Onesimus? No, Paul says, I wish I could keep him here because he's been ministering to me. Paul had discipled this young man. Friends, we are a citizen of another kingdom. That takes priority when it comes to making sure if that person doesn't know the kingdom of God, we're to be ambassadors to communicate that and communicate the gospel. How in the world are they going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ if we say we can't associate with you? Well, Chris, don't we got to obey the laws of our land? We do. And that's why this thing is complicated and we got to be humble. But my challenge to you as a pastor, don't divorce the law of love from the law of our country. they're still here, we have an opportunity to minister their need so that we can introduce the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, this is what I believe about the gospel. Jesus is before things, and in him and all things hold together. If you got issues with some people in their character about what they do, nothing's going to change that character except Jesus. You understand me? Today, at 11 o'clock, six backstabbers, six thieves, six people that have stolen countless monies from other people have taken advantage of their own family, some their grandmas and their granddaddies. Six of them are getting baptized today at Set Free Campus because they were lost before they walked onto that campus. But for 3 months, the Word of God is being poured into their life. Some of these are sorry men who hadn't paid back their child support. Some of these are men that are selfish and haven't thought about anything except themselves for all their life. But they're getting baptized today. Why? Because they're a new creation in Christ. They collided with truth. They repented of their sin. And now some of them are looking forward to phase two where they can start getting jobs to pay back some of these fines and do things the right way. But it wouldn't have changed until there was a heart change. And what if the church says, I'm not dealing with that type of scum? Because, man, anybody that will diss their grandma, they ain't worthy of help. Come on, y'all. You submit to a higher authority and law. You are an ambassador of Christ. God has called you to communicate the gospel. And what I'm saying today is I don't know the methods yet. I'm not wise enough in those areas, but I can pray and ask God to intercede. But what I do know is the church can't turn their face to the illegal immigrant and say, that's not my issue, that's not my problem, and God's not sending me there. Friends, God's bringing them. And Philemon is an example because Paul said, I didn't ignore him. I gave him the most important thing he needed, the gospel. And then I discipled him in the gospel. And this is why we're at this point now, Philemon. What if God allowed all this so that he doesn't come back to you as a slave, but as a brother in Christ? Isn't it worth it for someone to get grace and compassion and mercy as your first response? As the God Almighty of this universe did for you? In the middle of your sin? Or are you ready to promote a different gospel? Because I can jump in Hebrews and in Galatians on that if you want to. And we can tell you about how God feels about a different gospel than his gospel. I don't have the answers. I don't know the policies. God has not called me into politics. But I know God has told me to communicate the gospel to whoever he brings across my path. And regardless of their actions, pure or impure, they deserve the same response that I got from God. And I am his ambassador. So number four, this is it and we're done. Next slide. We can help them know the love of Jesus by helping them belong. Citizenship and friendship. I don't think we're being a disgrace by trying to improve our government to have better, faster, more effective ways to get people legalized in this country. Nothing wrong with that. And if we're supposed to be change makers and agents of change for the positive, for the good, the salt and light, shouldn't we try to echo how to do this the right way and be proponents of some type of change that still obeys the laws of our land and still promotes the purpose and the dignity of who we are as Americans, but also gets people on track that don't have the same things that maybe another guy from another country came in with the paperwork. How do we get this paperwork? How do we get, this is complicated, I don't know. But I know that there are a lot of smart and wise kingdom-minded people in the kingdom of God. And I'm just wondering if they're getting distracted by all the noise that they're not getting addressing the problem. And I'm just thinking, could the spirit of wisdom be on somebody within the kingdom of God who has the answer right now? But because we're so blinded to our petty preferences, we're missing the gospel moment, and therefore we're not putting energy into that area. That's what I'm challenging, church. How do we make this thing right? But more than that, do you know anybody in this arena? Have you opened your arm of fellowship to befriend them? Have you taken the opportunity like the Good Samaritan, who completely had no obligation to that man, but he did want to meet their need? Have you shown that act of kindness? They need that. And instead of us trying to pick and choose which side to land on here with this wall thing and this immigration thing, have we thought about their kids? Who, if we want to see this world change for Christ, one of the tried and true messages of that is to invade them with the gospel in the next generation. Have we thought about how we're going to address the children? Who, again, regardless which side you land on, they didn't have a choice in the matter. You understand? And this is where my family kind of came to this conclusion. God, I'm not wise enough to tell where we need to land on this. I don't have the methods. I don't know the right system. I don't know how to contribute to this. But God said this to me. You can. You can contribute. And again, as I'm saying, before I say this, let me say, I am not telling you this is your personal assignment. I'm saying each of us need to go to the scriptures and say, well, God, what are you calling me to do? But to let you in on our heart and why we got to where we were. Why are we now about to complete adoption about two foster care kids and then go crazy and think about having more kids? It's not because we want to be the McKeons or the Tolberts, okay? All right? And try to count, tie up the score with them. You got me? But this is what God said to us when I was at this. I said, Lord, how do I respond appropriately with the gospel? Hispanic children in the Hispanic ethnic group is the highest at-risk ethnic group to go into human trafficking out of a foster care system. Because of the broken system and the politics that are going on, there are kids that are legitimately separated. I don't care who we blame on that side with that. I'm not there. I'm just saying at the end of the day, there are kids that don't have a mom and daddy right now. And look what the enemy's got us doing. He's got the church all up in the noise, while he's telling the disciples, don't keep the children from me, bring them this way. And so this is where I'm like, Lord, I'm not wise enough to know what to do on the politics. But here's what I know I can do. I can let my home be a home for two more Hispanic kids. And if it just so happens to be they have family that they're hurting, they won't ever get the chance to see, I can put up with that as long as they can be loved on and communicate the gospel. Now, is that going to be fun? No. Is it going to seem weird? Yes. But my challenge to you today is this, church. Get out of the politics and get to the heart of God. How is he telling you to respond to these issues? Because every issue that we face in this life, there is an appropriate response from the church, and that is to bring the message of the gospel with our mouth and with our actions. And so my challenge to you today is this. Restrain yourself from all the other passionate politics of it, and get back to your first citizenship, which is the kingdom of God. And say, Lord, how do I individually administer the gospel as your ambassador? We can help them. We just got to be willing to do it God's way. God's character makes provision. We have testimony in the New Testament of a long-term relationship between one man to another who was in the wrong, but yet his heart got turned around, but that same brother started continuing to honor the path. So don't hear my heart saying, let's ignore the laws of the land. Paul did it the right way, church. He took care of his spiritual need, and then he began to take care of all the other things that came with that. I think Jesus talked about that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Let's just make sure we're not getting the everything before the Jesus. That's all I'm asking. Complicated issue. A simple guy with a simple message. Don't drop the gospel as we walk down this world of this road of unknown. Seek first the kingdom of Jesus, of Christ, of his kingdom, and everything else will be added. That's my challenge as your pastor today. That is why he's left you here on this earth, to be his ambassador, even in this issue. May God give us all the wisdom, from our political leaders to the leaders of our homes, the leaders that we're raising up, may God give us the wisdom on the right decisions toward this that honor him as a nation. But may we do our part of being an ambassador of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, God, thank you for helping me bog through this. I pray that people, the brothers and sisters that I know who know me, know my heart. God, this is a complicated, chaotic situation. There are a lot of lives at stake on both sides and in the middle. And for some reason, you have not allowed your church to skip this issue. We're directly involved in it. For Lord, within your kingdom church in America, we have illegal immigrants and we have legal immigrants. Within your kingdom church, we've got people that are for more protection and better things to protect the citizens here. Others that are saying, hey, but let's don't leave out these folks here. And God, it's complicated. But Lord, I know this, that you have called us to take your gospel into every crack and every corner, into every bit of space there is to show light. And God, may we be faithful with that. Lord, we're going to make mistakes along the way. That's why I pray you give us a humble heart and a teachable heart to continue to grow in wisdom according to your word. Lord, may the word of God be our foundation. God, forgive us how much we allow social media and other forms of media to be our authority over your word. God, guide us by your word. Holy Spirit, move in us to be a people that's different. God, is so upsetting that when the world looks at all the different people groups, they don't see Christians standing out different than everyone else. God, it's because we've been distracted. We've lost sight of the main thing, which is your son, Jesus. Get us back to the gospel, I pray. God, help us. Save us, Lord Jesus. Rebuke us. Sanctify us. Wash us in your word. Help us to be faithful to raise your banner. Lord, help us to see things through your eyes. God, that's what we need. Help us to see these issues through your eyes. And help us not to lose focus on Jesus. We ask this in the power of your name. Amen.
Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. My heart for what breaks yours. Everything I as I walk from earth into eternity. And heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you. Love to me.
Church, let's just pray right now, okay? Let's pray. We have people that are medically going to. Let's pray. Father God, we just pray right now for our brother or sister back there, Lord, that is hurting. God, whatever's going on, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll just keep them and heal them and watch over them. We just ask, Lord Jesus, that you will even guide them right now to where they need to be able to be healed. And Lord, we're just praying for their protection right now, Lord. Give us a calm spirit. Help us to walk in your spirit right now with wisdom. And God, be with our brother or sister right now, we pray. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Church, I'm going to ask you to dismiss out this door and out this side door and let them have attention to what's going on. Thank you.